Before we start today's sermon, let us take a moment to remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Lord Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's take a moment to worship the Supreme One, the infinitely compassionate One, the winner of his own defilements, and the liberator. And with this also, let's make a firm determination and pledge our allegiance to the Tathagatan Mahansa. So please chant the Namaskara all together and with me.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
Just a few days ago, I was walking past the Valley Maluwa. And in this Valley Maluwa, there were a dozen of our small noble hearts children who were meditating. And it was such a beautiful sight, because I know these children are young children, all under the ages of 13. Some of them were 7, 9, 12. And they all sat down and meditating. And luckily, when I was walking past, I saw Amadasananda walk by. And somehow, these children had felt this. They had their eyes a bit open and they saw him approaching. And so what did they do? They stood up and they ran to worship. And at that moment, I thought how lucky these children were. How lucky these children were to, number one, have the merits to be associating such great people. Number two, being in the association of the Dhamma, therefore going to the Valley Maluwa and meditating. And number three, always under the eagle eyes of their teachers. So when they all ran, they worshipped him, and he made sure he touched each and every one of their heads, giving each and every one of them his blessings. But I want to tell you what he told them afterwards, because that is the most, for me, it was something that I thought about. And he described what a good person is. So if I was to ask you, who is a good person? Now, the first image that comes to our mind is, you know, someone who shares. So, the example that he gave was, if, my puta, you have a biscuit, right? The person next to you doesn't have a biscuit. As a good person, what do? We share. So, we break into two, and we give the better half to the other person, and we share. And another example he gave is, when you're at school, and you have just a single pencil to write with, and the person next to you does not have a pencil. See, I didn't know that this was a thing until I was told. If they don't have a pencil, what should you do? Or as a good person, what would a good person do? Snap that pencil in half, right? Something that I've never thought of. But snap the pencil in half, sharpen the splint end of the pencil, and give the pencil with the rubber to the other person. And he said, I don't want you to do this. And these are small children. They're like, what? Like, what are you trying to say? You don't want us to be good? And he said, Buddha, I don't want you to do that. Because in the Buddha's asana, we know one thing. Why does the other child not have a biscuit? Why doesn't the other child not have a biscuit? Because what you give is what you get. If you haven't received, if you can't receive, that means you haven't what? Given. See, only in the Buddha Sasana do we understand what you give is what you get. Therefore he told the children, if you have a biscuit and the person next to you doesn't have a biscuit, what should you do? You should give the entire biscuit away to the other person. Why? So you give the other person a choice to break in half and give a half to you. Therefore, they are giving. They are giving. So you are now, you're actually not just giving them a biscuit. You are giving the gift of giving. You are giving the gift of giving. So you're curing the problem almost from its source. Because they haven't received a biscuit because they haven't given it. And so instead of you giving half a biscuit, you're giving the entire biscuit, giving them the choice to break in half and give a half to you. So again, with the pencil, he said, if you have the pencil, it doesn't matter if you don't have anything to write with. Give the entire pencil away and give them the choice to snap it in half, sharpen one, and then give it back to you. Only in the Buddha Sasana can we do a merit like that. Give the entire thing, giving the other person the choice of giving. So what is the most valuable gift you can give? The gift of giving. The gift of giving is the most valuable thing you can give. So they say, sabbadana dhamma danan jinati. Out of the best donation you can give is a donation of the dhamma. Why? Why is that? Because if you give dhamma, what do they become? They now have the dhamma. So what will they do? Spread it around. So the reason why they don't have the dhamma is because why? They haven't given the truth. So once you give them the truth to give to other people, now what? You're giving the gift of giving. And I was thinking when I was reminiscing the past, thinking about what, as a child, what I would do. And I was remembering how slowly it became second nature just to give. So if I saw a child who doesn't have a biscuit, forget a biscuit. If they don't have like a something, it won't cross my mind twice before giving. And I know most of you have the same thing as well. If you see someone in need, you don't think twice before giving half your meal. You don't think twice before, you know, thinking, how can I help this person? It's almost as if it's in our blood. Giving is somehow mixed in with our blood. So if someone needs help, we think about, we just don't think, we just give. But when it comes to the gift of giving, you see, I was thinking how lucky these children were. How lucky these children are. They are taught the gift of giving. And that's not the only thing he said. He said, now there's only a dozen, right? Just about 12 of these little kids that are listening to this amazing discourse. And he said, Puta, now only you know this, right? Only you 12 know this. So what should you do now? When you go back into the Noble Hearts building, what should you do? Keep it to yourself. Don't tell anyone. It's our secret, right? Don't tell anyone. It's our secret. You should do it. Shh. Is that what you should do? He said, at least, at the very least, just tell one person. One of your friends. Tell them, just one. And spread the message. So, I didn't go back to Noble Hearts building to tell one of these. Instead, I want to tell more people. I want to tell all of you. So this is our secret. Right? Don't tell anyone else. Right? You better not tell anyone else, or else this is not going to happen. Now, you've learned this. You've learned the gift of giving. Or giving the gift of giving. Now, what should you do? Give the gift of giving away. Tell another person. Because we may not be able to change the entire world. And trust me, I don't think we can. But we don't need to change the entire world. We need to change ourselves and the people around us. That itself is enough. Because why? They say everyone is connected to everyone within 7 steps. So you and say a person in the opposite side of the world. So the opposite of Sri Lanka is I think America. You know, in the that lone corner in some road in say New York City, there's a person called Tom. Whether you know it or not, within 7 steps, you have a connection towards them. You have a connection with them. So your friend is a friend with another friend, is a friend with another friend, another friend, another friend. Within 7 of these connections, you know the person. So if you change that friend, and he changed that friend, and he changed that friend, statistically, that means we're changing the world. It means we're changing the world. But we don't aim to change the world. We aim to change ourselves and the people around us. Because this is what we need to do. Help others. Help others understand. And even with giving itself, we have to understand what is it that we're giving. So the other day, I was talking to a group of children, and they have done tons and tons of merits. But then I asked them, what is it that you're actually giving? So I did the same thing with my sisters as well. Right? I had a couple of days ago, I gave them a phone call. Right? And when we were talking, I asked them, so you've done all these merits. What is it that you're giving? So I told you about the story of a person who had given the money to her parents to come to Sri Lanka to spend about a month in Sri Lanka, right? I was asking her as well, what is it that you're giving? Because if we don't know what we're giving, it ends there. I gave a biscuit, full stop. I gave someone a chair, full stop. But merit doesn't end there. Merits never end there. See, when you give a dana to the Mahasangha, is it just, I gave food, full stop? Is that how it ends? See, merits doesn't end there. We have to understand what we are giving. Because I gave a dana, I gave food to the Mahasangha, full stop. I gave shelter to the Mahasangha, full stop. Very easy to put that full stop and not think about it again. But when you really start to think, contemplate about what you have given, there is no end to this. What I mean is, this is person A, right? This is person B. Person A helps person B. Or let's say person B was hungry, so person A gave a share of his meal. You can put a full stop there and say, this is a story, full stop. However, after A helps B, B helps C. So there's a full stop, is this a full stop there? Because A gave food to B, B had the energy, because food, to C was upset, and B was able to console C. So, didn't A also help C? But then C, after being consoled, helped D, E, F, E helped G, G helped H, F helped I helped H. And now what are we creating here? We're creating a massive spider web that started with A helps B. So you can say that, you know, A, all A did was, you know, B was hungry, right? So A just gave a portion to B. But didn't A also help G here? Didn't A also help somewhere along the line Z? Did they not? They have. See, when you give alms to the Mahasangha, what are you actually giving? What are you actually giving? You are not giving a simple, you know, here, take this. You're not giving a single thing here. Instead, you're giving what? Energy. The thing you are giving is an energy. You see, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. So that energy will continue to move from one to another, to one to another, changing its form in different ways, and ending somewhere. Ending somewhere? For as long as you can think, all of these merits that have happened, you are also heir to. You are also heir to all of this. You are able to inherit all of this merit for as long as you think. Because why? Merit can only happen if you have the intention. That's one of the reasons why they say giving to the Mahasangha is Mahatpalai Manisansai, which means it has the highest benefit and highest result. Because by helping the Mahasangha, what are you doing? You are helping, number one, a person liberate from their own suffering. So you can give, A can give food to B for the rest of his life. For the rest of their life, A can give food to B. But B, if they don't practice the path and if they still have ignorance, what will happen? B will be reborn as Alpha. B is reborn as Alpha. Now A can give back to Alpha if they wanted to. However, if this is talking about the Mahasangha, A will only have to give to B for a certain period of time because B is now practicing the path and ignorance is going down. So A is fueling the destruction of B. A is destroying B, or destroying the ignorance of B. See, this is why, help giving the Mahasangha, right? Bhikkhu bhikkhuni, upasaka upasaka, helping the Mahasangha is Mahatpalai Manisansai with the greatest benefit and the greatest fruit. And B can only will help all of these people, not in a single sense, but help them all do what? Liberate from their own defilements. Liberate from their own defilements. And therefore, they all are now what? Affected by A. So, this is why, when we do a merit, we have to remember, we have to think about it. Because it's very easy to feel like it's a duty. You know, it was my duty to help. I was obliged to help. For example, as most of you are at the monastery and living at the monastery, basically. So most of you just spend the night somewhere else but come back in the morning. So you're spending your entire life at the monastery. You may be given the responsibility of, you know, from today onwards, Mahatmya, you have the responsibility of cleaning the Dhamma hall, sweeping the Dhamma hall. Now, first day, it's a joy, because why? It's your chance that you have, and you remember how meritorious it is, and you clean it, you sweep. Second day, third day, again, same thing. You do it with joy, but then after a while, it becomes, you know, my responsibility. Then instead of it being a merit, it's more of a responsibility, and therefore you're not doing it with the purity of your heart. Instead, oh, it's because I have to do it. It's because I have to do it. Is it a part of my life? I have to help. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do that. Now it's a responsibility. Now you don't remember all any of this. All you remember is not even. You don't even remember B. All you remember is. I do. I'm sweeping. That's all you remember. You don't remember I'm sweeping for the Mahasangha. Yes, I'm sweeping. I'm helping. Not who, I'm helping. Now it's becoming a responsibility. This is now the responsibility. Now is that the merit? Is that full merit? Well, this itself is a merit. Because why? Whether you like it or not, you're helping the Mahasangha. You are sweeping the hall that many thousands of people come and sit down and listen to the sermon. So it is meritorious. However, you're not getting the full fruit of it. Instead of thinking it as to be a responsibility, or it's something that, you know what, I have to do. Instead, we have to remember that this is almost, we are, you know, privileged to be able to be doing this. Not that I have to do. I get to do it. Not that I'm supposed to do. But I am able to do it. Because each and every one of us, we may get responsibilities. And that responsibility becomes part of who we are. So I am the one who sweeps the Dhamma hall. However, we have to remember, it's not because of me. It's because I have the merits to be able to help. It's not that it's my responsibility, so I have to. No, I get to. I'm allowed to. I'm allowed to do so much merits thanks to this responsibility that I've been given. It's a privilege to be able to. By thinking of that, now you remember who you're giving it to, who you are helping. By remembering who you're helping, you're able to understand, you know, what am I actually doing here? Because a question that is normally asked is, okay, when I'm doing things, when I'm sweeping the Dhamma hall, well, how should I be able to contemplate? How can I contemplate? When I'm doing my responsibility, so imagine you're given responsibility to stack chairs. From today forth, your responsibility is to stack chairs. The question that's normally asked is, okay, how can I contemplate while doing this? Before we think about contemplation, we have to first understand what is happening. Because that itself is what? Contemplation. So we have to understand what is happening. So in the somehow we have to get from I sweep to sweeping is happening, but I'm there. So we have to go from I'm sweeping to sweeping is happening, but I'm there. Because that is what is happening, right? That is the reality of it. It's not that I sweep, you sweep, we all sweep. Right? Not like ice cream, you scream, you all scream for ice cream, right? It's not nothing like that. It's what? Sweeping is happening, but unfortunately, due to our ignorance, we feel what? I'm the one doing it. So we have to go from... to... Sweeping is happening, however, but, see, but is very important. Because why? But is not a good thing. But is always negative, right? It's always giving us a negative thing. But, I'm there. or even just, I am. I know it doesn't make grammatical sense, but... Almost, but I. There you go. I am sweeping the da-da-da. We have to go from that to sweeping is happening, but I. But me. But self. See, to get from this to there, the process that we have to take is, first of all, understand what is this. By understanding what this is, you go from this to this. You go from sweep, I am sweeping the dhamma hall, I'm sweeping the kitchen, I'm cleaning up, I'm stacking the chairs, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Because this is our habitual way, or this is the normal way of thinking. What am I doing? What am I going to get out of this? That's why we do lots of things, right? If I don't get a benefit, do I do this? If I don't, just think about this. Imagine we're not sweeping for the Mahasangha. We're not sweeping in the Arama. We're just sweeping, right? Someone just throws a broom at you and says, sweep. Someone just throws a broom at you and says, sweep. The first question you ask is what? What am I going to get out of this? Okay, I'm sweeping the roads. Am I going to get anything? Am I being paid? Will someone sign something saying that I sweep for 7 days so I can show people, right, job applications. I put it in my CV that, you know, I did this charity event for 7 days sweeping the roads. Or will, at the very least, will someone say thank you? At the very least, will someone just smile at me? If so, I'm happy to do that. Because we are always very, you know, always just about, it's always dependent on self. Because the world revolves around who? Around who? And the world revolves around the self, around you. That's why everything that we do is always, what is going to happen for me? What are you gonna do for me? What is the benefit that I'm gonna have? If there's a benefit, I'm gonna do it. If not, can we delegate this to someone else? You know, Like, you know, this Buddha is not doing much, right? All he's doing is running around. We can give the sweeping to him. Because why? You don't see a benefit. So first of all, we have to go from this to this. We have to go from I'm sweeping to sweeping is happening. But we have to rearrange this sentence, basically. But to do that, first of all, you have to understand what you are doing. We have to go from responsibility to merits. Merits, you see, this is where we have to be very, very efficient. Because while we're doing merits, our mind is in a condition, in a state where we can do lots and lots of good. We can use the merits that we collected. A good example that Guru Hamdar used to give is cholesterol. Do you all remember that? Don't have merit cholesterol. So what he means is, all of us, every single one of us, we do lots and lots of merits. Now, same thing with eating, right? Some people, what we do is we just eat. We eat and eat and eat and eat. If our body doesn't use it, it gets stored. So for example, if your body doesn't use the sugar that it gets from its food, we get what? Diabetes. If it doesn't use the cholesterol, right? Cholesterol is useful and for the body, you need it. But if it has a high level of cholesterol and it's not using it, then what happens? We have cholesterol. So don't make merit cholesterol, meaning you get lots and lots of merits, but if you don't use it, what is the purpose of you having the merits? So use it for your benefit, because we need it to get from this to this. So when you're doing merits, this is the best time to use the merit that you're doing. You should be able to use the merit that you're doing at that moment. So while you're sweeping, while you're stacking, whatever merits that you're doing, while you're doing that, start contemplating. Now, it is like riding a bicycle. It's like riding a bicycle. Do you remember learning to ride the bicycle? No, I remember very vividly. The first thing my parents did was, you have the bike, and then, you know, behind the bike you have the two training wheels. Right, training wheels to make sure you don't fall. Yeah. So, first of all, we have to do this like riding a bike. How so? Is that, you know, your bike has to have your training wheels, because at first you don't know how to contemplate. So what should you do? You get help, right? So I remember whenever I did some sort of merit, and say I have to sweep the Dhamma hall, my teachers would say, you know, when you sweep a Dhamma hall, listen to a sermon. Listen to a sermon while sweeping. Why? Why should you listen or listen to something while doing a merit activity? What is that giving you? Training wheels. That's giving you what? Training wheels. So your bike, as you can see, I know how bikes look like. Right? It looks something like this. Right? You have a bike. And now you have your training wheels, because as you're listening to a sermon, whether you like it or not, while you're sweeping, you hear things. And when you're hearing things, whether you like it or not, you have to think about what you're hearing. Just try not to think about what I'm saying now. Can you? No matter how hard you try, can you not think about what the words are coming out of my mouth? At the very basic, the very minimum, at the bare minimum, you have to understand what is said. So when I say the word said, you hear it, and you recognize it, and you process it, and then you perceive it, said. the very minimum, at the bare minimum, you had to process what has been said. And therefore, then comes what? The contemplation. Whether you like it or not, with your training wheels, you are now what? Contemplating. And then what do you do? And then after you've ridden with your training wheels for some time, what do your parents do? In other words, what do your teachers do? They say, okay, now let's get rid of your training wheels. And so they get rid of this. But once they got rid of the training wheels, what do they do? What do? Do they say, now ride? I don't know how it works, how you guys would learn to ride a bike if you have. But what they do is, you sit and you pedal. I'll be there behind you. And so they hold on to the back of the bike. And they hold and they make sure you're steady while you're riding. So what that means is your teachers will say, okay, when you are sweeping, try to contemplate on this. Try to contemplate on that. And now they're giving you something to contemplate on. And whether you like it or not, depending on how strongly your teachers give you the view, when you are sweeping, the idea of my teacher told me to think about this will come to your head. And then, after a while, what do parents do after? They let go. Because now you know how to ride. You know the basic, you understand how balance works, and therefore you now can ride. But those of you who have taken the determination to learn how to ride a bike, once your parents let go, what happens? You fall down. And then you fall down, you get your injuries, you get back up. You get back onto the bike. And again, parents hold, and you ride. And then falls. Rides and falls. Rides and falls. However, there's a time where your parents are holding onto the bike, and they have let go. And only after you rode like another 100 meters, you look back and you see, wait, where did my parents go? They let go. When did they let go? How did they let go? That's not, I didn't fall yet. And then you realize, okay, I can ride the bike. See, this is why the actual contemplation of the Dhamma is like, it is very, very similar to real life. Again, like, since history, I remember, like, when we learn about Buddhism and, you know, about it, the Buddha's life, the life of the Buddha, the lives of the Arahants, they all seem so magical, right? You know, this happened, the horse was able to jump over the gate, right? And Channa Charity was holding onto the tail, and you see this beautiful image in your head of something really mystical and magical, just like, you know, magic stories of like Merlin and King Arthur. They seem so magical. However, the actual nitty-gritty part of it is like real life. It is basically like life. Oh no, it is life. Because all we're trying to do here is get rid of something extra that we do. All we're trying to do here is try to get rid of something extra that we do. What is the extra thing that we do? We think that I am sweeping, when actually this is what's happening. What? Sweeping is happening. We don't realize we're just doing something extra. So what we're doing is we're trying to understand that this part is extra. Let's get rid of that. To come back to the normal. So that's the thing. You can relate, because practicing the Dhamma is so logical, so normal to our lives. Now, a lot of something that comes up is, you know, how can I constantly, you know, contemplate on Dhamma? When I'm doing something, I'm very focused on what I'm doing. And so I can't contemplate. So when I'm sweeping, I'm usually very focused on sweeping. And the argument I have to that is, you know, sometimes when you're doing some work and a song comes into your mind, you are singing the song while sweeping in your mind without any sort of friction, resistance. So if you can sing a song while sweeping in your mind, then how can you not contemplate while sweeping? You see, it's hard. It's the same thing as riding a bike. Is riding a bike hard? Well, it depends on what stage you're at. In the beginning, it's very difficult. You're on your training wheels and you're trying to find your feet. But after a while, then it becomes second nature. So for example, your teachers, practicing the path may be second nature to them. That's why when you go to your teacher and you ask them a question, they can give you an answer like this. All you have to say is, yesterday I was a bit upset. And all you have to say is that, and they say, okay. How were you upset? And you can think, how did you do that so quickly? I can't do that. It takes me about half an hour to get what you said done. It's because why? It's now become second nature. They're now able to ride their bike. Hold on to... they still may need a teacher behind just to check if they're falling or not. To run after them and medicate their wounds and injuries. However, they're able to ride the bike. They're practiced. They have practiced. Same thing like learning instruments, same thing like learning anything. Failure is what makes us take the step forward. Just try to imagine how you can learn anything without failing. Imagine trying to learn maths without failing. Lots of people have this, you know. Lots of people have a fear of numbers. So if someone comes up and says, you know, give them a sum, I don't know, the square root of 36 times 3 divided by 2. Them just seeing numbers give them a sense of anxiety and goes, okay, we got this. Why? It's because they don't like the feeling of failing. But you can't learn anything without failing. Isn't it because you wrote 1 plus 1 equals 3. The teacher said this was wrong, right? It's not that. And they taught you how to do it. Isn't it because your teachers taught you what to do after you failed that you learned? That's why failing is a very, very important part of life. We have to get rid of the idea that we have to get rid of the idea that failure is bad. We have to come to accept. Okay, I did something wrong. That's fine. What can I do to not repeat that mistake again? See, we have to come to accept that we make mistakes. You know, that's a very hard thing to do, right? I make mistakes, that can't be. I don't make mistakes, I am perfect. No, we have to come to understand that I make mistakes. That mistakes can happen. You see, you have to really actually understand that we fail. The actual acceptance of that is also a part of our learning. Let me explain. Right? So, we have this feeling, you know, I got angry. Now that's wrong. Ani, what did I do? What did I say? I shouldn't have gone angry at that moment. I should have done this. I should have done that. And we start regretting all this time that, you know, I was angry, like I was sad, I was upset, I was crying, and we start to think that, you know, why did I do that? Why did I do this? And we start to go into the state of first guilt, then regret, and then guilt, and then regret, and guilt, and regret. And we're caught in this trap. And that's because we don't like the idea that, you know what, I'm imperfect. I have mistakes. That's why when someone comes up to you and asks, right? It's a very common thing, especially in the monastery. And they come up to you and they ask, are you angry? Right? The first thing you do is you start bordering up massive walls. You start plastering these walls and say, I angry? I'm not angry. Me angry? No. I said that so I can... And you come up with excuses. Because why? We don't like this idea that, you know, I failed at the moment. Because we think of that to be a failure, and we think of that to be so low and beneath us. However, to fight anger, we have to accept that anger has happened. Now, this goes very closely with, you know, modern psychology. When people go into anger management classes, they say, okay, you are angry, okay, breathe, okay, accept that you are angry. However, this is not accepting that you are angry. What is this? We have to understand that anger has happened. What I mean is, we have to get rid of this feeling that, okay, I am angry. Instead, come and replace that with what? Anger is a natural process, is a natural process of the mind. And that has happened. So, who's angry? Anger has happened. Anger has happened. Sadness has arisen. Not that I am sad. See, we have to first come and accept that, you know, anger has happened. We have to be aware that anger has happened. Not that I am angry. Not that I am angry. Instead, there's a natural process of the mind. And that natural process has ended with what? Anger. So, if I put any other number here, that'll be wrong. If I put 4, is it right? If I put 9, though, is it right? Of course not. This is the only output that can have happened. If 1 plus 1 plus 1 has to equal 3. So a mind with ignorance, attachment, vexation, with insanity mode, with jati, at that moment, if it did not arise with anger, now we should be worried. Now we should be worried. A mind with ignorance and attachment and with vexation, and in that situation was not angry. Instead, it was joyful. So it's like saying 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 9. Now we should be worried and we should be thinking, okay, something else is wrong here. But we have to understand 1 plus 1 is 1 plus 1 is 3. So the process of the mind gave, or the result of this mind is 3, or is anger. Okay. Is it your mind that got 3? No, it's the part of the process. It's part of that process. So we have to first of all accept that anger has happened. Not that I was angry, she was angry, you were angry, we all were angry. No, we're thinking anger has happened. See, contemplation doesn't always have to be about self. I mean, about yourself. When I'm angry, doesn't mean I have to contemplate just when I'm angry. Can't I also contemplate when you're angry? Because we're talking about a simple process that happens in minds. So if I see someone else to be angry, can't I contemplate on that? Because why? Is it I'm angry, or you are angry, or she's angry, or he's angry, or they're angry, or that someone else is angry? No, anger is a process. A process that is perfect in the mind. It arose due to the causes. It arose due to the causes. So we have to come to understand that. We have to come to understand that everything is a result of the causes. And that itself is perfect. Now, we have to accept, we have to understand. So, in other schools of thoughts, we have the idea that, we have to be mindful. So when you're doing something, you have to understand that you are doing what you are doing. So when you're walking, you have to be aware that you are walking. When you're speaking, you have to be aware that you're speaking. When you're breathing, you have to be aware of that you're breathing. Here, right, when looking at the cause and effect nature, we're doing the same thing. Except we're being aware that what? I'm not doing anything. Instead, it happened. Walking happened. Sweeping happened. Getting angry happened. But in our minds, getting angry and sweeping feel two completely different things. Sweeping is one thing. Getting angry is something completely different. However, in the eyes of cause and effect, through the eyes of anicca, are they different or the same? The same. Due to the causes, the effect arose. Due to the causes, the effect arose. So here's the thing, right? We need to realize the true depth of what we are doing. What is happening? At any moment, we can understand what are we doing, what is happening at that very moment. It's only when you really understand that we go from I'm sweeping to sweeping is happening. And the only way we can go from I'm sweeping to sweeping is happening is once we start to look at reality for what it is. See reality for what it is. To be aware about the cause and effect nature of the world. And I do remember I gave all of you homework. Do you remember? No? 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 You don't remember? Because I didn't remember this. I was reminded several times by several different people that you had homework. Even when we talk about vexation, right? It feels as though, vexation is a bad thing. Bad. Like, go away, vexation. But vexation is also what? A natural process. Vexation is the enemy, yes. But it's not, an enemy meaning, how dare vexation come in and infiltrate my mind? Curse you, vexation. It's not like that. It's that vexation is a side effect or is a symptom of the main problem, which is what? Jati, in other words, ignorance. It's a symptom of ignorance. So if we feel jati, we know that ignorance is still there. It's an enemy in that aspect, but not, if I'm vexing, it's a bad thing. Right? So, vexation is bad. Yes, because why? It's a symptom of ignorance, which is something that's creating all of our suffering. Yes. However, it's a natural process. It's perfect the way it is. But we have to get rid of it. We have to get rid of it because that's the cause of all mental suffering. Vexation is the cause, or ignorance is the cause of all mental suffering. That's why it's an enemy. So, did you all, were you all able to contemplate on watching the video? Because today I think we have more technical issues, so we won't be able to watch the video today. I was told in the morning. I waited an entire week. I waited an entire week to watch this one video. Right? I made sure I didn't die in that one week. So I can watch this video and then, you know, I can peacefully pass away. I held on to the elixir of life just for one more week just to watch this video. But unfortunately, again, we have some technical issues. So think about this, right? How did you contemplate? That's a good question to ask. How did you contemplate? You know, this video, because the mind can fall into various traps. One amazing trap that it falls into is while you're contemplating, instead of contemplating, you are like thinking about how good it is. So, you know, there was an amazing video that I was going to play. But because of technical issues, cursed the internet, the IT department, right? Because of the internet issues, we weren't able to play, right? There was going to be an amazing video. And every time you say the word amazing, what is your mind telling itself? What is the mind telling itself? We missed something that would have given me pleasure. You know, video equals pleasure. Sometimes when we start contemplating, instead of actually contemplating the reality, getting rid of ignorance, we are actually increasing ignorance. You know, because if we think, you know, if the IT team had done something, we would watch the video and then we won't be vexing. We won't be vexing right now if they had done what they're supposed to be doing, right? Then you go, well, but you know, I'm vexing because of my attachments but in the beginning, what are you doing? You're reinforcing the view. You're reinforcing ignorance here. How did you contemplate? How did you contemplate on this video? Just, you know, it was actually a very good video. It was a very, you know, you would have enjoyed the video. Unfortunately, you know, IT team not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So how did you contemplate? Because we have to understand, where does vexation come from? Where does vexation come from? Is it from the video or not from the video? Is vexation from the video or not from the video? So if we watch the video, would that now get rid of your vexation? No, it doesn't. Instead, no matter what, We have this vexation because we have this idea in our minds that, you know, this is something separate, something different, something that it's an entity that will bring me pleasure, that will give rise to pleasure. Therefore, because the mind has this view implanted inside of it, it thinks what? By having this, I'll be happy. Therefore, it's now vexing. Now it's continuous under so much vexation. But what we have to do is go and do the opposite. And show it what? What is actually happening here? What is truly happening here? causes are coming to give rise to the effect. Because the mind is like a shadow. The mind is like a shadow. What I mean is, do we have shadows here? Yes, perfect. Can you all see the shadow of this pen? So unfortunately we have four shadows, but focus on just one shadow. There's only one shadow here. Well, if we had a fifth shadow, that'd be better. But only four. The shadow is like the mind. Because why? Only when there's light and an object, is there a shadow. So if I were to draw this out, and we have a light source, right, and an object. Only when the light source and the object is there do we have a shadow. And you can see I did very well in art in school. I can draw a very good straight line. No, I can't. Better. Right? Only when this light is on do we have a shadow. Okay, so when I turn the light off, what goes first? What goes off first? The light, the light that hits the object, or the shadow? Which one goes off? Which one turns off first? So, we have the light is on, right? The moment I turn the light off, which one turns off first? The light that's supplied, the light that's on the... Do we have... So we have a green light here. Which one will turn off first? When I turn this switch, right? Is it the light that's supplied that turns off first, or the light that's reflected, or the shadow that turns off first? Which one will disappear first? Of course, it's the light that's supplied from the torch, right? When you turn off this, that's going to disappear. Then it's going to be this. Then it's going to be the shadow. Is it? The moment I turn this off, this light and this and all three, so the light emitted, the light reflected, and the light that is, well, the absence of light, which is a shadow, all three of them will disappear. All three of them will no longer arise, no longer manifest. Only because these three, these, this and this, we're able to come into contact, do we have the shadow? The shadow is just like the mind. Only when the eye and the object come into contact can the mind arise. So for a shadow, isn't this the mother? And isn't this the father? For the shadow? This is the mother and this is the father. So if the shadow says, you know, I don't like being square, I want to be round, right? Let's just change this. Let's change this too. This is the father. Right? I want to be round, right? Or I don't want to be behind the block, I want to be sideways from the block. Can the mind do that? So if it was to, one to say, if the shadow was alive, right, and the shadow was to say, you know, block, you are covering the light, go away. Block, you are covering the light, go away. What will happen when the block goes away? What happens to the shadow? The shadow goes. However, every mind always tries to change either the father or the mother. Always tries to change some sort of, you know, I don't like green, I want blue. I like blue, I want to keep blue. There's something, so say this, the color of the pen is the mother. They always want to say that, okay, I like mother, or I don't like mother. If I like mother, please stay. If I don't like mother, please go. But unfortunately, the mind is a result of what? The eye and the object coming into contact that gives rise to the mind. To the seeing mind. Chakrupa. So wouldn't this be silly, right? If the shadow was to say, "Mother," or "Block, I don't want you. I want another one. I want to be like this one." Oh, can you see that? No, right? You can't see the bottom one. Let's draw on top. I want to be more like this one. I want to be like this. So mother, change. Go away. Wouldn't it be silly for the shadow to tell the block to change? Because when the block changes, will the shadow be there? No, but yeah, the shadow thinks that. No, I am this and I'm also this. But the shadow can only arise when these two come into contact. Now, say the shadow is unhappy, right? So let's give this a face. The shadow is unhappy. Is the torch and the block unhappy? Is the torch and the block unhappy? Is it? Is the torch and block unhappy? They are as happy as they could be. There's nothing that they're not a block, or the torch is not saying, you know what, I don't like this. Because these are both inanimate objects, or these are both from causes. Therefore, the torch and the block are both as happy as they possibly can be. It's only the shadow that's unhappy. Because the shadow thinks what? I am separate from both of you. I am not from both of you. I am all by myself, a separate identity. Whereas, however, it is connected to what? The block. So if you were to ask the torch or the block whether you're happy or unhappy, the blocks will say and the torch will say, I'm very happy. But the shadow will always think, no, I don't like this. Change. Right? I want to be like this one. Change. I want to have this one. Change. The mind is always looking to have a different rupa. Or is trying to change the torch or the block in some sort of way. Or try and make them not change. Trying to make them not to change. Because either wants to be like this or not wants to be like this. And therefore wants something to change. It's never satisfied. It can never be satisfied. But unfortunately, when the mind arises, right? When the mind arises, it's going to pass away. The moment I turn this light off, the shadow will have to stop manifesting. Whether the shadow likes it or not, whether the shadow wants to be like this, and so the light, so you know, the light says, okay, we can change the shadow, but first of all, I've turned the light off. And the last moment, the shadow realizes that, you know, I am a product of these two. I can't be anything else. I can't be anything else. So it goes by. It stops arising just like. And just like, because he knows, he finally realizes that he can't survive without these two. So, fortunately, our media team does have the video. Yes, pure pleasure, right? Thank God. Thank you, IT team. You know, you guys are amazing, right? We have to do so much more for you guys. So I want to show you this video because this is, like I said, like the riding the bike, you can relate real life experiences with the way the mind works and with the dhamma because it's all very similar. So I want to show you a video. Hopefully the video will play, right? We don't want to hype the IT team up too much, right? Just in case the video doesn't play. But it shows the mind. And shows the mind like a child. So I don't want to ruin what the video is about, so you guys can, you know, relieve yourselves slowly. Right.
What did you say?
Are you being mean to me?
No.
No? Are you happy?
Yeah.
I need another mommy.
You need another mommy?
Yes.
Okay. Who do you want as your mommy?
A teacher.
Okay. I'll tell her.
Okay, mommy.
But you can't call me mommy anymore.
Mama?
You can't call me mama.
What's your name?
Michelle.
Michelle? Not Michelle.
Are you ready to go now?
Yeah,
okay. Mommy. Do you not realize this is the exact same thing that happens to our minds? Exact same thing. I don't like this. Are you being mean to me? And the mother father says, no. How do we know all that's happening is the light is shining on the block? Are you being mean to me? No. Are you happy? Yes. But yet, the shadow is never satisfied. I need another mommy. The shadow says, you know, I don't like being this shadow. I want to be another shadow. Just imagine a child just wishing for another mother, saying, you know, I don't want you to be my mother, I want someone else. Because they don't realize what? They don't realize that they are the result of mother and father coming together. I want another mommy. The mind is compassionate, or the causes are compassionate. Okay. Sure. Who do you want to be? I want to be round. I want to be a round shadow. I want Auntie Jeannie, right, to be my mommy. Okay, I'll tell her. But the mind doesn't realize. For that to happen, the mind has to pass. This shadow cannot turn to this shadow until what? The causes change. And even then, this shadow is not the same as that shadow. Yet the mind doesn't realize that. The mind thinks, I will become round. I want Auntie Jean to be my mommy. But he doesn't realize that, you know, this is the process of the mind. This is the absolute process of the mind. But yet, if you don't want to call this mother, then you can't go on. But at last the mind realizes, you know, When dad is about to turn off the lights, or when mom is about to be removed, the shadow realizes, these are the causes. So it waves bye-bye. Just like the child says, are you ready to go now? okay, mommy. Because the child realizes at the very end, but this I can't change. I can't change the causes. I am part of nature. And goes back down. Can we say it again?
What did you say?
Are you being mean to me?
No.
No, are you happy?
Yeah.
I need another mommy.
You need another mommy?
Yes.
Okay. Who do you want as your mommy?
A teacher.
Okay. I'll tell her.
Okay, mommy.
But you can't call me mommy anymore.
Mama?
You can't call me mama.
What's your name?
Michelle.
Michelle? You're not Michelle.
Are you ready to go now?
Yeah,
okay.
Mommy. You see, no matter where, no matter when, all we have to do is understand the reality. That's the beauty of it. All we have to do is understand the reality, nothing more. See, even a simple video, right? Something that's made to make people smile and laugh. Inside of that itself is what? The Dhamma. Only thing we have to do is be able to see it. The only thing we have to do is be able to see it. Everything in your life is the Dhamma. Is the reality of the world. The only thing we have to do is to be able to see it. So we have to really realize that this mind really wants something different. But can only want something different after it's what? After it arises. So the child can only want another mom after what? It's born. After it's born, can a child want another mom? Or else can the child say, I want another mommy before it's born? Would it come in its ghost form saying, Mom, I want another mom? It can't. It's only after the mind is born does it want something different. But then when it wants something different, it doesn't realize that for it to be different, it can no longer manifest. It has to pass away. It has to go and change. It passes away. And then, the causes come and another mind arises. Another mind is created and says, I want another mommy. But yet, it doesn't realize that it has to pass before another one is created, or another one is manifested. You see, we have to realize that, try to see that you are a single chitta. Try to understand that you are a single chitta that arises at this very moment. Sound, ear come together, gives rise to the hearing mind. Sight, eyes come into contact, giving rise to what? The seeing mind. Only when these two things come together do we get the mind. But yet we feel that the shadow feels that what? I am there, I am the one that create that's in control of the block and the shadow. The block and the light. Just like the child thinks that I am there, my mother and father are things that can change. But it's not. It's only when these two things, when these two causes come into contact, do we have the shadow. Only when the mother and father come into contact do we have a child. Is there another way we can do that? Can the shadow form before there's light? Can the shadow form before there's object? I remember in a physics class, a child once had asked, like, you know, why is space black? If the sun is there, why is space black? Why is space black? If the sun is always there, shouldn't space be some other color? Why is space black? Because what? There is no object for it to hit. Only when light and an object hit do we have the color or the shadow. So what we have to understand is what? Only when these... So we have to realize that it's always one chitta at a time. That it's always one chitta at a time. You can never get... Well, that chitta can never get what it wants. That chitta can never get what it wants. Because once it's born, can it want stuff? Only once the baby is born can she want Auntie Jean to be her mother. Only once it's born, but for that to happen, what needs to be? That the cores have to align for another child. But for another child, she has to pass. So when can a mind be satisfied? When can a mind be satisfied? Can a mind be satisfied? Can a single mind be satisfied? So then you can say, well, if the mind is never satisfied, then why do we feel this pleasure? Because the pleasure has to be because some sort of vexation has to be relieved. But here I'm saying that no two minds, one mind wants and the other mind also wants after being born. So... So let's take the normal example, the everyday example that we use is what? Chocolate. Right? Chocolate is one of the universal foods that most people like. Most, not all, most. Because there are people who don't like chocolate, surprisingly. Not surprisingly, of course not. So, for identification purpose, we're going to name this mind A, B, and C. A, B, and C. Right? We have mind A, B, and C. A arises, and now it wants to eat chocolate. For that mind to want to eat chocolate, what needs to happen? What needs to happen? For the mind to want to eat chocolate, what should have happened? Ignorance. Attachment. Come on. And then? Vexation. Then? Insanity mode. And then? Okay, you don't see this, but I'm writing, right? And then we have jati. And then? And jati may, and well, it perceives. And also before this, what do we have? We have receive. Go on. Receive, register, recognition. The four R's and P's. Respond and process. Perceive, there you go. These two processes must have happened. Has to have happened. This process has to happen. And this process, because of ignorance, has also happened. So this mind arises, say, with the rupa to be, to receive the rupa to be the nose, and a smell coming into contact. And it perceives it to be what? The smell of chocolate. And now the mind arises. Now, because of the ignorance process, it comes up with the one thing that I want, chocolate. So let's say somehow it smells, the next rupa is going to be it, the tongue and taste coming into contact. So this also happens, right? The RRRP. And then the ignorance process. Da, 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 da. So this mind wants to eat chocolate. However, can this mind eat chocolate? No, because it's already arisen due to the smell and the nose. Or because of this, because of smell, it's arisen to be a smelling mind. The next mind is taste. So next mind arises with the taste of, with the perception of chocolate. However what? Once it arises with the taste of chocolate, it, because of the ignorance process, it says what? I want chocolate. Not realizing that it arose due to what? Chocolate itself. Then next mind C. Also, same thing. It arises with the taste of the tongue and chocolate coming to contact, and the taste, the perception of chocolate arises. However, after it arisen, does it say, I want chocolate? So, is A satisfied? Is B satisfied? Because why? If B ends, the mind passes away. The mind passes away with the thought that I want chocolate. So it also passes away with the thought that I want chocolate. I must have chocolate. To be happy, I need to have chocolate. But the next mind arises with the taste of chocolate. But then after it has risen, does it think that, you know what, I want chocolate. So none of these minds have actually eaten or have actually been satisfied with what? Chocolate. Because why? The mind will always pass away thinking, I want chocolate. But then you can say, but how, when I eat chocolate, why do I feel this sense of pleasure? That's because of what? Oh, that's because of who? It's because of who? Because of the storyteller, Jati. Because of sense of self, it feels that, okay. It tries to connect dots. Do you remember when you were little, there was these dot-to-dot games where you have a series of dots and all you have to do is connect one dot to the other and that dot to another one, that dot to another one, and then you step back and you see a picture of a bird. You've seen those, right? What Jati does is, Jati is those lines. Every mind is a single dot, but Jati is the line that it creates. Another one would be this constellations in the stars. The other day, I was walking through the roads, and we had a very clear sky, and so you can see the stars, right? And especially when it's night and all the lights are very low, and you just have a torch, and you turn up the torch, you can see the stars very clearly. There was one of the Anagarika Mahatmas who were there, right? He was looking at the stars, and I went to him and I asked, like, "What are you doing?" And he was saying that, you know, these stars, people have the hobby of looking at star constellations, saying that this is Aries, this is Gemini, right? This is Orion, this is Hercules. But neither one of these stars are actually next to each other. Neither one of these stars actually know that it's part of a star constellation. Like, do you think, I don't know, I don't know names of stars. Do you think star A and star B know that it's next to each other? Well, is it next to each other? For you, doesn't these two pens look like they're next to each other? But if I look this way, are they next to each other? They could be. So stars are light years apart. light years, meaning it takes an entire year for light to go from this to this. Light years apart. But yet you say, oh, look, that is, oh, that's Aries there. Oh, what's it called? Terrible star signs. Taurus. Yes, you have all these amazing star signs which people are so into. But yet, there are no lines actually connecting any of these stars. So he was looking at the stars and he was laughing. And it's true, isn't it? These stars have no idea that it's connected. Only we're the one who's connecting. Only the storyteller can connect. Only the storyteller can be the one who connects them and says, oh, look, this is Hercules. And then you give the story. Right? Hercules was a human, or was a demigod, and then a human, and then this, and then that, and then this, and he's finally got a star sign. Thanks to what? Jati. So because of Jati, we say, oh, look. A wanted chocolate, B had chocolate. B wanted chocolate, C had chocolate. So, A was vexing, right? High levels of vexation. And therefore, B has to have low levels of vexation. And now, because of the dot-to-dot, we say, wow, B and C must be happy. However, is that how it works? Is that how it works? Is B and C actually, will they ever be fulfilled? It's only after they have what they want, do they want it. So can they ever be fulfilled? So when you look around the world, your mind can never get what it wants, but it feels as though it can. It feels as though I have got what I want, except you haven't. The mind arises after. The two mother and father comes into contact, and then it wishes. Only after it wishes that I wish I can have this, when it's already got its mother and father. So what we have to do is we have to realize that what? This is the mother and father. Our mind is a cause and effect, is under cause and effect. We have to realize the reality of the mind. Show ourselves that this isn't self. That this is a process. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinaya, or the three, four R's and the P. The RISP. Right? Four R's and P's. This is what happens for the mind. The mind arises and passes away. You are a single mind. A single mind arises at one single moment. But yet we feel that, no, that's not how it works. I am there. So coming back to the sweeping, how can we say that sweeping happens but I? How can we say that sweeping happens but I? So for sweeping to happen, what must have happened? What must be happening? Mother, father coming together, giving rise to the child. So I and I and object coming together to give rise to the seeing mind. And you can either see the broom, and then you get the idea that, okay, I have a broom. And when you perceive that the broom, now you think of what? Sweep. So can a mind sweep? Can a mind sweep? A single chitta, can it sweep? If you really think about it, it can only perceive that it's sweeping. It can only perceive that it's sweeping. It itself isn't sweeping. It gives the output and says, okay, I must be sweeping, right? And will give the energy for the next, for movement to happen, of course. So it's like taking this and moving it a bit this way. And the next one moves it a bit more this way. Next one moves it a bit more this way. So did I move the pen? Did the mind, a single mind, move the pen? More that, it just gave enough energy to move it a bit this way. And then it gave a bit more energy to move this way. And more energy this way. And more bit more energy to move this way. But then the mind thinks that because of jati, it thinks, I am moving. Except you can only perceive. You can only perceive that movement is happening. That movement is happening. Then you can say, then what am I doing? What am I doing? If I can only perceive what is happening, then what am I doing? I am doing what? Nothing. Causes are coming together to give rise to the effect. What are you doing? Nothing. But I feel what? I must be doing. I'm the one sweeping. I'm the one cleaning. I'm the one stacking the chairs. I'm the one who woke up in the morning. Is it? Okay, waking up in the morning. Is it you who's waking up in the morning? Can you choose when you wake up in the morning? Can you? I can set the alarm, right? But do I wake up because I chose to wake up or because the alarm woke us up? Because if it's you who's waking up, can't you wake up at whatever time you want to? So if you said 4 in the morning, you should be able to wake up at what time? 4, 5 in the morning. But is that so? Did you wake up? Or did waking up happen and then you realize that you woke up? No, do you understand? Like, when you are asleep, how do you know you woke up? Either that you can hear the alarm, the annoying alarm clock like blasting, dee 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 dee, and you're like, or else you feel the sunlight hit your eyelids. If you sleep for that long, right? If you wake up that late, you feel the sunlight hit your eyelid, and you, instead of seeing a dream, you see red, and you realize, oh, I've woken up. But you can only wake up, or you can only recognize that you woke up after you woke up. It's not that in the middle of a dream you think, you know what, it's time for me to wake up, and then you wake up somehow. That's not how it works. The mind wakes and then perceives that it's woken up. And then you say, I woke up. But the only thing you're doing is what? You're perceiving. You're perceiving that you woke up. How do you know that you're asleep? How do you know that you're asleep? You only know you went to sleep when you what? Wake up, right? So it takes the average, I think, 7 minutes for a person to actually fall asleep, right? So they're laying in bed for 7 minutes on average. Some people have, I don't know, supernatural powers where on the moment their head hits the pillow, they fall asleep, right? They're lucky. Some other people have, I don't know, they're cursed, right? They stay in bed for hours and hours and hours, and then they fall asleep, but then they have the lightest sleep ever that when a leaf just falls onto the floor, they wake up. I've seen the best and worst, right? But how do you know you fell asleep? You know how sneaky the mind is, right? You say you go to bed at 10, and say you're supposed to wake up at, say, give it a 7 hours, right? So 5 o'clock, right? You wake up in the morning and then you feel really tired. So what do you say? I probably didn't sleep my 6, my 7 hours. I probably slept probably like 4 hours. But the only time, only way you can say that is if you saw the time. Only if you saw the time can you say that I only slept for X amount of hours. But do you see the time when you go to sleep? So the mind that falls asleep looks at the time before falling. Is that how it works? No, but yeah, it makes excuse that, you know, I must have fallen asleep around 12 midnight. I had to wake up at 5. That's a 5-hour sleep. I should have another 2 hours. Or in the monastery, we sleep at 10 and wake up at 4. Right. I feel really tired, probably slept around 2, right? Another, I just only had another 2 hours rest. However, the only way the mind knows it falls asleep is because it woke up. Like, a great example would be, like, I remember, it happens, right? It happens. When you listen to a sermon and, you know, somehow you're thinking about something else and then you wake up and then you realize that you fell asleep. Yeah. Yes, it's happened, right? It's not just myself who's had this experience. Yes. The only way you realize that you've missed something is when what you heard and what you are hearing now doesn't connect. And you're like, eh? He was talking about a dog before. Now he's talking about a house. Or now he's talking about a cat. Dog to cat, there's probably something there. I must have fallen asleep. Or you can only know that you've fallen asleep once you've woken up. But yeah, you think that you're the one who went to sleep and you're the one who woke up. Except you are not. Only thing the mind can do is what? Perceive. Only thing the mind can do is what? Perceive. So are you sweeping? Are you sweeping? Or are you or is the mind perceiving? Sweeping. Because we can't feel every single separate chitta. Because the mind is way, way too fast for us to recognize every single chitta. However, you feel that, you know, sweeping is happening. See, the mind arises according to the causes. The mind will arise according to the causes. So when the causes align, now, it arises and then you think that, okay, I'm sweeping thanks to ignorance. Or thanks to jati, which is basically ignorance. See, we have to come to the realization that this is always one mind at a time. One mind at a time. Actually coming to the realization that, you know, it's always a mind at a time is a massive leap. That the other person is only one mind at a time. So, like a couple weeks back, we talked about people I think we talked about labeling last week, maybe. Yes, I have a faint memory of that. Yeah, we talked about labeling, and so if we realize that a person is actually just a single mind, then we realize that they cannot be labeled. That they cannot be labeled there and then. That the only label we can give to them is at that very moment. Not a moment before, not a moment after, but that very moment. Because they're just what? One mind at a time. One mind at a time. See, when you realize that it's a single mind at a time, that the mind can only arise at this moment, now what? Now nothing can actually. You realize that this moment is only there for this, only there for this moment. So, you know, I remember growing up, I remember one of the school teachers coming and giving us a talk, right? And saying, you know what? When school life is the easiest part of your life. Once you grow up and you get a job and you work, now your life becomes very hard. But don't worry, children. If you're going through hell, keep going. And what they're trying to say is true. The meaning they're trying to say is true. Because why? The mind arises, the mind passes away. If that mind is under so much pain and suffering, it's because you feel that, you know, the storyteller is telling you that you've been through all of this pain. The storyteller is what's telling you that, you know, you are going through hell. You're going through the worst time of your life. Yeah, we've all been there, right? You know, we have a time in our life which we call the worst time of our life. But the worst time can become more worse in somewhere in the future. In another 3 years, maybe, I don't know, everything that you loved and liked crashes into your feet, down at your feet. Now that's a more worse time than before. But so it's only at this moment does the mind arise, and at this moment, when the mind arises, it perceives. Once it perceives, it passes away. So we have to, because we all, most of us, live in the past or live in the future. Most of us live in the past or live in the future. What I mean is, we all think, okay, oh, I did this, I did that, you know, I did. See, this is when you have to be really mindful. Even when you think about merits, I did this merit, I did that merit. You know, yesterday, I went to every single monk, right, and offered them, each and every one of them, an atapirikara. I offered them a pirikara. Now, you have to be really mindful here. Because was it you who did that? Because we live in the past. We always reminisce the past. What sort of things that we used to do? See, this is when, like, young children, when you go meet, like, grandparents and the older generations, what do they say? Ane pute. When I was your age, and they start telling you stories after stories after stories. Because why? They reminisce the past. They live in the past. They say, you know, when I was your age, I was climbing this tree and I fell down and I broke my back. But, you know, back then I was younger, so my back healed. And they'll go and they continuously tell you of their past. Because why? They live in where? The past. But when you're younger, where do you live? You live where? In the future. You know, I only have another 3 more days and then I'm going to go out of school, or in another three years I'll be out of school, then I'll be free. Right? Or I'm going to go to uni, I'm going to go to campus, I'm going to leave school, leave my home, and I'm going to be independent. Right? Be independent, and I can't wait for that. So what are they doing? What are they doing? They're living in the future. Most people live in the past or the future. Either we're remembering our yesterdays, or we're trying to think about tomorrow. Or another hour. You know, after Guru Handra's sermon, I'm going to have that roti, and then I'm going to go home. But when I go home, I'm going to clean this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And now you're thinking about the future, thinking about... So, again, it's not talking about planning. Planning has to happen. But this is you living in the future. A great example is, you know, when you're building something. So in Sri Lanka, it's not that a house is built and you move into a house. In Sri Lanka, what happens is, you have land and you have to build the house on top of that land, right? That's not how it works in other countries, but hey ho, Sri Lanka. So you have land, and if you go to a person, right, who's building a house, and they'll say, okay, this is my door, this will be where the door is, and I've seen people open this imaginary door, and walk inside and say, this will be where the window is, this will be the door, this will be the kitchen, this will be the bathroom. In their mind, it's already what? Built. In their mind, they can tell you exactly the color of the walls. Because why? They live in where? The future. They live where? The future. Or they live where? In the past. Did you know, before this land looked like this, now look at the house. You know, before I was someone like this, now look at me. So yes, this is useful. But you have to be aware that only this mind can arise at this moment. See, when you're remembering the past, who's remembering the past? This mind is looking back at the past. Not that you're going to the past here. This mind is planning the future. Not that you're going to the future here. It's at this moment, this very moment. Because our mind always likes, having two dots on a timeline. Our mind loves having two dots on a timeline. So if you have a timeline, this is me now, this is me in the future, two dots. This is me now, me in another 2 hours, two dots. This is me now, and this is me in the past, two dots. What we're trying to do is trying to get rid of this dot, and leaving that one dot that's right now. Not this me now, but this moment. So that's the thing, this moment, what are we supposed to be doing at this moment? What is the best thing I can do at this moment? How can I change this moment? How can I practice the path at this moment? So there's normally we can go through this feeling where, you know, you're doing something that's giving you pleasure. And you think, you know, I will contemplate about this later. And then we talked about this, you know, we'll do this tomorrow. I will contemplate. We'll contemplate about this tomorrow. So, say you're eating some chocolate, right? Very good chocolate, nice chocolate, right? Makes you it's like, you know what, very smooth, milky. I don't know. However you like your chocolates, nutty if you like nuts, creamy if you like cream. I don't know. But you're eating the chocolate that gives you a lot of pleasure. Inside of us, we always think that, you know, I will contemplate about this later. Maybe after I enjoy this part, after I feel all this pleasure, I'll contemplate about later. So, let's say, for today, say for lunch today, we're going to have, say, I don't know, fried rice, right? Fried rice for 2,000 people. I don't know where that's going to come from, but say, right? You're having fried rice, right, with lots of your favorite things. See, as you're eating, think about this, right? Do you push that time and say, you know, I am enjoying this, let me enjoy this in peace. And later, and I'll contemplate this about this in another, maybe after I eat this, I'll sit back and contemplate about this, sit in that corner and then contemplate about this. Why do I feel that this fried rice was pleasurable? But at that moment, I'm going to experience all the pleasure I possibly can. See, if you're doing that, what are you doing? You're thinking that, you know, I have a future here, that I will be there another 2 hours. That this mind will be there in another 2 hours. Instead, bring it all to now. The only moment that you have is now. Contemplate about it now. Now, I know most of you are probably thinking that, sure, we'll have fried rice for midday alms. That's going to happen. Right? That may not happen, but you know, prevention is better than cure. You don't need to go through all that for you to finally cure it. You have to prevent it from happening. Prevent yourself from going and feeling all this attachment and all this pleasure at that moment. So you can do it now. Contemplate about it now. Well, you can wait until one day, maybe, right? Who knows, maybe another trillion years, right? Where one of the deities, right, takes off their ring and gives it to the monastery and says, you know, I want you to sell this ring and give everyone fried rice. That day, When that day happens, you will all have fried rice for midday alms. Now everyone's wishing, please, will a deity sell their ring? Please, can they sell their ring so we have like fried rice for one day? But all in all, you have to be able to contemplate at that moment. Don't waste it and say, you know, I'm going to do it later. Because it's at that moment you have the best opportunity. Because you are face to face with your enemy. Face to face with your enemy. If you are face to face with your enemy, should you let your enemy win for you to finally attack the enemy? See, you must be the strong soldier. You must be that strong soldier that is fearless against their own defilements, that can stand and fight. Okay, what do you think is better? A soldier that only fights the small opponents, a big soldier that fights small opponents, or a small soldier that tries to fight the big opponents? Which one is a stronger soldier? The small soldier that tries to fight the big opponents. Because why? Every single time it fights, what's happening? Every single time it fights, what is happening? It's getting stronger. But a big opponent just attacking these small ones, a big soldier attacking the small opponents, when will the soldier learn? See, become the strong soldier. Become a strong soldier. Make sure you don't let any moment pass. Whenever you feel that, you know, if this happens, I'm going to feel sad. If this happens, I'm going to feel angry. If this happens, I'm going to feel elated, joyful. Apply before it happens. Put yourself, train your soldier before you go to war. Because that's what we have to do. The thing is, inside each and every one of us, we have the strong soldier. Except we don't give the soldier enough training. We don't give the soldier enough time to fight. Just a show of hands, put your hand out if you know how to ride a bicycle. A show of hands. Okay, so that's almost 50% of us. So inside each and every one of you, there is a person, or there is the ability to ride the bike. However, we feel that, you know, I can't. Only those who had the will, the determination, and the time, and the effort, are able to get that off. So I remember when I started learning to ride the bike, there was a group of children who had ridden the bike for many, many years before me. And so they can do these tricks without touching the handbar, I don't know, pulling their, what do you call it? Wheeling, right? Going onto the back wheel, going on their front wheel. And I used to look at them and go like, number one, I thought that they're stupid, right? Because they're going to fall down. But number two, I thought, how do they do that? How can they do that? But then you realize once you get the hang of riding a bike that, you know, we all have that ability inside of us. All we have to do is give it the right determination, give it the right, the determination, the time, and we can get that ability out of us. Same thing with practicing the path. Inside each and every one of you, there is an arahant. All you need is the right determination and the right amount of determination, the right environment, and to give it the time, and it will come out. They will come out. But you need to give it that. You need to give it the right environment. You need to give it the right the right determination, the right amount of time, and it will come out. The arahant will come out, come out from inside of you. See, this is not talking about, again, a mystical or magical thing here. So if you ask me, where does it come out from? Will it come from my mouth, from my stomach, from my head? It's not going to come out of anything. It's just an understanding, the ability. So each and every one of us has that ability. It's just we need to improve it. Improve what we have now until we get to the destination. So practice. Don't let a single... Can you all hear me? You can say the rain is bad, but the rain is good. Okay. No, come back to the rain. No. Oh no, it's raining. Oh no. Is it a bad thing it's raining? Is it a good thing it's raining? The natural process. If it rains, it rains. If it doesn't rain, it doesn't rain. So you can say it's raining and so, you know, we won't be able to listen to sermons or we won't be able to go outside. But I can say it's because it's raining, do we have water to give all of you what you need. So is the rain bad or good? The rain is always neutral. Environment is always neutral. Nature will always give you what one needs to be. All we have to do is try to be one, or that sounds very hippie, but you know, try to be one with nature. Meaning, try accept nature for nature. But you can say, no, I don't want it to rain because, you know, I have clothes outside. Or we're trying to listen to a sermon here, but it's raining really hard. You can't hear. But let nature be. Let nature be. Understand what nature is. So, as your task for today, right? So, hopefully last week you were able to contemplate on the video. Hopefully that video was, you know, something that will get you to think as well. Because now when you think about, when you look at a child, a young child, hopefully this could come to your mind. This child wants another mother. See, hopefully this has become a trigger. You now, whenever you see a small child now, hopefully that triggers you. To what? Contemplate. When you see a mother, hopefully that triggers you to contemplate. See, look at the world, because every single time, there is something to learn. There is something to learn. So learn. Learn and learn and learn and learn. Learn from your surroundings. Learn from nature. It's once you understand the lessons from nature, will you be free from the grasp of suffering. Okay, so as your task for this week, I would like you to keep the secret. Remember, keep the secret, eh? Don't tell anyone. That's your task for this week. Don't tell anyone. About what? Giving the gift of giving? Don't tell anyone. It's our secret. Oh no, it's being recorded. It's going to go to YouTube. No, remove this part. We don't want this part to go out. Don't tell anyone about the secret. The gift of giving, don't tell anyone. Now that's your homework. Of course not. I want you to tell others. Tell others about the gift of giving, the gift of giving. So just like Amar Das Nanda told these kids, told the small noble hearts kids, at least one other. One other who's not here today. Tell them how to give the gift of giving. Because if there is, say, five of us here today, 5, 10, 10 will become 20, 20 will become... Like, I don't know if you've ever like seen those... I remember there was once a video of a note where it said, "You are amazing, pass it on." And so what people do is they'll give this note to other people and they'll say, "You are amazing, pass it on." And so that person will give it to another person and everyone will take a photo of this, and they made a beautiful story of the people and of the... So it was funny because eventually the post-it note came back to the owner. So the owner him or herself was able to take the photo and pass it on. So pass on. Right. So don't keep it a secret. Give it to as many people as you possibly can. I have made it my goal for... So I heard this almost 3 days ago. I've made it my goal for this week to tell as many people as I possibly can. So, in my time of this week, how many people I meet, my goal is to tell them this. Somehow give them a message to give the gift of giving. One thing will change the other. Will change the other, change the other. When you finally have a chain reaction. So it's a very simple homework, very simple task. So keep it a secret, don't tell others, right? And see, and tell them also to pass it on. Tell them also to tell one other person. So tell them the secret, but tell them to tell one other person. And I'll know it's successful if someone else comes up and tells me. Then I know that if someone has, that it's gone, right? So that's how I'm going to judge whether you pass or fail the assignment. Whether you get an A star or an F is whether someone comes and tells me. Okay. And as it's raining, I don't think we'll be able to take much more time, because nature will always take its path. All we have to do is become one with nature, right? Accept nature. So if it's going to rain, let it rain. Okay, then. So let's take this session to an end, and let's take a moment to transfer merits and conclude. Let's take a moment to transfer the merits required by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting praise to the Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So, first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Lord Buddha's teachings, and with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to the Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha, and passed down through the generation of the Lama lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all the chief prelates of all the chapters, who have dedicated their lives to no path and committed themselves to betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget, among them will be the monks and nuns resident in your local temples and nunneries, who have always been by your side, the thing thing, come in or shine. It's also taking a moment to transfer merits to Guru Sananasi, as well as other monks resident at the monastery, as well as the Anagarikas and Anagarikas attached to the monastery. It's also taking a moment to transfer merits and express our gratitude to those who make great effort to disseminate the teaching of the Buddha, be there by transiting sermons, sharing them out with others, inviting them to join them. May the power be met. If any have been born in the verbal plane, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power be met, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the no wayward path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nirvana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And so take my own transfer merits that we've acquired to our devotees, friends of the monastery, who for sake of merits continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to the instruction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, or with medicines, as well as those who pass on the know-how to extend their well wishes. May the power of these merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble way for path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's also taking a moment to transfer merits to our mothers, fathers, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, sons, daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employers, employees, and to all those who have helped us, supported us, assisted us in any shape or form. By the power of these merits, may they be healed in physical mental ailments. May they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress. May they abstain from our meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble four path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer the merits of the Devas, Brahmas, spirits, demons, primary Sakradeva, as well as numerous gods and deities, who have committed to protect and fulfill the Sambuddha Sasana. Let's also take a moment to transfer the merits of our garden deities, who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of these merits, may they prosper divine power and wisdom, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble human path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This also take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all those who have been friends and family to us in this even long journey in samsara, to all those who have helped us, supported us, assisted us in any way they could. Let's take a moment to transfer these merits. Let's also take a moment to transfer these merits to the members of the armed forces as well as the police force who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those who lost life in the war, be their friend or foe, rejoice in the merits required today. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those who lost their lives in the calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics, reminding ourselves among them with those who have been friends and family to us in long journey samsara. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to them. May the power of these merits, if any have been born in the above planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blessed plane. May by the power of merits, may they abstain from meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may the power and blessing more than merits required for the other day. We have been witness the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arahat Nuances, Arahat main Nuances in this blessed land. And finally, may through all the power of merits we acquire today, you and I and everyone who have made this program a success become Arahat Nuance or Arahat main Nuance in this very life in the era of the Gautama Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of Navachupacham be with you all. The Mahasangha will now transfer the blessings to you. Raga ginnin midatnva Dvesha ginnin midatnva Moha ginnin midatnva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukita tarvetnva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukita tarvetnva Mamada siyalu loka Siyalu satnvayo Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukita tarvetnva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukita tarvetnva Raga gini niveva Dvesha gini niveva Moha gini niveva Nivan sepa labeva Nivan sepa labeva Nivan sepa labeva Tunvangi Susyananta Mahamudipalim Siloka Silosatyoga Nibbana Pramasakin Sugadaravita Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu.